You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Well, Christmas, you know, it really is amazing. I look forward to this time together every year. It's so special to gather together. And I know many of us, we have plans in the coming days. We have plans even in the next few hours, but this is a really good space to share, to slow down for just a moment, to recognize the holiday, to celebrate the birth of Jesus and reflect on our newborn King. Something happens when we create even a shared kind of sacred space where we can remember these things and sing together. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, born to bring good news to all. And I don't know about you, but I think we need good news. We need good news. I mean, there's a lot of bad news around us, and so it's just important to remember, no, Jesus came to offer us good news and great joy. There's a lot of things in the world that aren't working. There's a lot of things in my life that aren't working. Right? I mean, and some of the things that aren't working, they're like a really big deal. I need them to be fixed right away. Some of them are more like a nuisance, and some of them are just repeating silly little things. They happen over and over and over again. But there are a lot of things that are not currently working for me. And one of those things is diet and exercise. Especially this time of year, everything gets thrown out, which is really unfortunate because I'm now at the age where it's just not as easy to stay fit as it once was. You know, in my 20s, I could just like imagine working out and I would start losing weight. But now my decade starts with a 4. And so things I've just noticed, they've begun to change. It's not as easy as it once was. The pounds don't just magically fall away. I used to be able to eat whatever I wanted and do whatever I wanted and nothing would change. I bought a pair of pants the other day, didn't try them on, just bought the pair of pants the size I always buy. That doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work anymore. And I saw some folks in my neighborhood walking with a weighted vest, and I thought maybe I need one of those weighted vests. Have you seen these? They're all the rage right now. The weighted vests thing do they work? I don't know. I don't know if they work or not, but they're everywhere. And it made me think of another fitness craze. I mean, there's all kinds of fitness gadgets that promise you quick results with very little effort. My favorite from the 1990s were these bad boys. You remember any of these? These are called the jump soles. If you're younger than me, you probably have no idea what those are. Yes, they were real shoes. People spent actual money on them. And I can promise you they did not work. They had big promises that if you bought these and you just walked around and did some plyometrics in them and took a couple shots, your calves would get huge. You'd be dunking in no time. That Division I scholarship offer is coming right your way. The only problem is, not only do these make you look like a goon in the gym, I mean, you're walking around like this. It's like really, it's just a gorilla in the gym. It's very strange. And also, they like actually don't work. I've never seen a D1 college athlete or an NBA player with those on, ever. They don't wear it. Turns out, I could wear those all day long and I'm still not fit to make it in the NBA. These don't work. They just simply don't work. Another thing that's never worked for me, especially this time of year, is lying to grandma. Lying to grandma never works. If you've ever done it, you know it's just not, I wouldn't recommend it. It doesn't work. And I'm a pastor, so I want to clarify. It was a little white lie, and it happened about 25 years ago. And it's really hard to lie to grandma. It's really hard to lie to grandma. And so, look, the problem is she made these brownies for like 15 years in a row, and I could not handle them. Other people in my family loved them. They were not my cup of tea. And after 15 years of these brownies, she came up to me and she said, "Jeff, do you love my brownies too?" And that's the moment. Can you really look her in the eye and be like, "Grandma, I love you, but I hate these brownies. I never eat them. They're super dry. I just can't take it anymore." You can't say that. So I slumped my head and I said, "Yes, Grandma, I love your brownies." And I got them for another 15 years after that. And then, because she thought my brother and I both loved, she would make extra pans and send them home with us after Christmas. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. Now, there's probably some grandmas in the room who can really bake, and I'm sure your kids love your brownies. But my childhood brownies were no good. They were no good. And these are silly things, right? I mean, they're small things that aren't working. But if we just dig a little bit deeper, if we just have a little bit of a serious note this morning, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in our lives that aren't working, truly. They just aren't working. For some of us, it's our finances. They're just not working. Our relationships aren't working. Our health might not be working. You could be struggling with an addiction, or maybe your faith isn't working for you, or even non-existent. I mean, life doesn't always work this side of heaven, and it was especially true before the birth of Jesus. Before the birth of Jesus, it seemed like nothing was working. There was a growing sense of darkness. There was a growing sense of pain. And in God's people, there was a growing sense of doubt and fear, wondering if God was even paying attention to them at all. Because what's really interesting, in your Bibles, there's this one page, right? There's one page that goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this page, it's not just one flip of the page of your Bible. What's really interesting about this page, it takes you from before Jesus was born to after Jesus was born. It takes you from before the promises were fulfilled to after the promises began to be seen. But the thing is about this one page turn is that it represents 400 years of waiting. 400 years. In the Bible, we nicknamed them the silent years. Because there was a whole bunch of God activity before these 400 years, and after the birth of Jesus, a whole bunch of God activity. But in this one page turn, there are 400 years. We're talking about generations of fear and doubt and wondering, is God paying attention at all? Have you ever wondered that in your own life? Is God paying attention at all? All those promises about the coming Messiah, all those promises about a Savior who would take away the sin of the world, all those promises about spiritual renewal where a personal relationship with God could be made known, and healing and restoration, even purpose and significance, could find its way into our hearts in this one page. Those 400 years of doubts and fears begin to be erased with the coming of Jesus Christ. It's the page that changed everything. It's the page that changed everything. And I'm going to read the same story that I read to the kids, except this time I'm just going to read it word for word. I had adopted it for the demographic on the stage a moment ago. I'm going to read it word for word for you here. It's in Luke 2. It's one of the most famous Christmas passages. And in it, I think you'll hear even some promises about what your life with God can look like. This is what it says. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to with whom God is pleased." The King of Kings, wrapped in strips of cloth, laid in a humble manger, and the angel said, "This is good news and great joy for all people. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." Doesn't matter if you're hearing this scripture for the very first time or the 10,000th time, it's important for all of us to remember that Jesus came to make life work. Jesus came to make life work. It says the angel came with good news. And this is the message of Jesus Christ, that through his life, death, and resurrection, all the wrong things can be made right. That you and I can experience forgiveness of our sins, which according to the Bible doesn't mean that we just kind of move on. It means that it's actually completely removed from who we are. That we, even if we have the most checkered past, those things never have to define us again. Because we can find a newfound hope in Jesus Christ. It's good news that offers great joy and peace, freedom and redemption, and a light from heaven that breaks into our own darkness. Jesus came to make life work. I mean, what do you do when life isn't working for you? I know what I do. I know what I currently do. I know what I've done, and I know what I can still do today if I've had a bad week, month, or year. I can slowly drift from God. I can begin to fake it, like somehow my accomplishments and my performance will somehow reawaken this security and love in my heart. I will try so hard to make my life good, and I will still fall short. I met God later in my life. I wish I could tell you that I have this wonderful story of always living a surrendered life to the Lord, but I don't. I met God later in my life, and I can tell you with 100% confidence that nothing else this world has to offer will satisfy like a surrendered life to Jesus. Nothing else can make the crooked path straight. Nothing else can bring light to even the deepest and darkest places of your life. Nothing else can offer peace and joy, even in the midst of pain. Nothing else but Jesus. My life was empty, and honestly, it was mildly depressing. I was anxious, I was wandering, and quite frankly, I was mostly bored. I wondered often, is this all that life has to offer? This all that it is? Just one more final, or one more class, or one more work project, or one more, you know, trip around the sun? Is this all that there is to life? There has to be more. When life isn't working, it's just easy to fake it, at least for a while. But it is the boring life. It's not the good life. It's not the blessed life that Jesus came to offer you. And there's something working against you that might surprise you a little bit. It might surprise you a little. There's something that's working against your ability to recognize the life that Jesus has for you. And it's the fact that you live in Fort Collins. It is. I mean, it's a lovely place. It's a wonderful place. It's a place I don't want to trade for anything. I love raising my family here. We love having church here. But sometimes Fort Collins is so nice and so picturesque that it can lull you to sleep and create an illusion in your life that everything is great when actually stuff's falling apart. And Jesus Christ came to redeem even those places you think are going well. But maybe when everyone goes home and you're left alone in your bed, you realize, no, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life on earth. Things don't magically get better outside of Jesus, they actually get worse. And sometimes it's a slow burn, other times it's abrupt, but life doesn't work the way it was intended to work outside of Jesus. This is why he came. It's why he was born. He came to make the crooked path straight, to set the captives free, to bring peace into our chaos and light into our darkness. This is why Jesus was born. If life isn't working the way that you had hoped, or if life isn't working the way that you thought it should be working, or maybe if there's an illusion that it is, but deep down you know it's not, I want to encourage you to try a surrendered life to Jesus. Because again, he's the only one who can offer you hope beyond your past and well into your future. He's the only one who can give you freedom where your heart is bound and shackled. He's the only one who can redeem even the most checkered past. Try a surrendered life to Jesus. Try Jesus and try church. If it doesn't work for you, the most that you're out is a few Sunday mornings over the course of the next month. But if these promises become your reality, it could change everything. It could change everything. Well, I have a real challenge for you here. And I realize you probably didn't come here. You wanted to just sing the carols, and I get it. But here's a real challenge for you to consider in January. If life is not working the way that you intend it to work, try living like Jesus for the entire month of January and see what happens. Just try it. Try living like Jesus and doing what he did and follow his example. Join us for church and see what might happen. You just could find a deeper and more authentic way of living. The promises of Christ can become yours too. I'm telling you again, I've tried it all. I've tried it all and nothing satisfied. The only thing that's worked is a surrendered life to Jesus, the King of all kings, who was born into our world to transform our daily life. The scriptures say, "For I share with you good news of great joy, Today in the city of Bethlehem, Jesus is born. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Let's stand together.